Tarantula Facts, submitted by Grace.
Hi, Edie, and Nick, if he sees these. I've been listening to you all since early in my pregnancy with my son, who is now over a year old, and I love your all's podcast. I just recently listened to the podcast where you all told a story by a trucker who ran over what they thought were leaves and were actually tarantulas. I've been binging and have hit the podcast from April now. I actually collect tarantulas. I have four. I'm nuts, I know. What that likely was males traveling to find females for mating. New World tarantulas live in the Americas, Old World live anywhere else, Europe, etc. I have a tarantula called a Phonoplema chalclodes, casually known as Arizona Blonde. That is likely the species of tarantulas the trucker ran over. Just wanted to share so you knew tarantulas won't be forming in hordes to come after you. Keep doing what you're doing. I'm trying to rummage through my brain for childhood terrors to share with you all soon.
Thank you for listening to the True Scary Stories with Edie podcast, Grace, and submitting your additional notes to a previous story we did. If you guys want to submit to us your scary story or encounter, you can do it on our Facebook group, which is at True Scary Stories with Edie. You can also join it if you want to join all the other uglies in posting scary memes, sharing scary stories, and a bunch of funny, scary stuff. Besides that, this is a podcast. If you are listening for the first time, this is a podcast that has some commentary after every story. So if you're not into that kind of thing, this is not the podcast for you on Tuesdays. But we have a different podcast called Just the Terror on Sundays, which Nick does by himself. And it's all stories, no commentary. So you might be a Tuesday listener and not a Sunday. Wait, what's today? Never mind.
Well, I mean, we record other it way on around. Tuesday, but we release it. Yeah, you got it.
Other way around. Whatever. Tuesday's the commentary.
Out. Look, if you hear Edie talking like this, you're listening to the wrong day.
That's funny, too, because she goes, oh, and Nick, if you read these stories, too, which you read all the stories.
No, I'll read the messages.
Oh. Not
the stories. I remember I saw a review recently that said, you know, it would be really cool if you guys let Edie read some of the stories.
No, shut up.
Especially the female ones because,
no,
well, they
didn't
know. They don't know the reason.
Oh, because I can't read.
Yeah.
I mean, I can read, just not very goodly.
Because we have new listeners that probably are listening to the recent episodes and have no clue.
That I can't write because I haven't talked about it in a long time. Yeah, I don't read it because I was homeschooled and I never... When you're homeschooled, you never have to read out loud because there's no one to read out loud to.
Yeah.
You just read in your head. So I never got really good at reading out loud. So it sounds pretty tragic when you hear me read out loud.
Yeah, and the first detention I ever got in school was because I forgot the paragraph that I was supposed to read out loud. And so I made sure to always read out loud after that.
All right. Well, let's keep going into some more spooky.
What, do you like all these facts?
I love the facts. I think... Ooh, that was a scary noise.
Yeah.
I like the facts. My sister also has a tarantula.
Okay.
So I'm not that weirded out by tarantula people. I do. My sister will hold the tarantula and stuff. When we were growing up, we were always really, really scared of spiders. So I'm surprised that she's doing that now. But we were so scared of spiders growing up. We used to name the spiders so that we could possibly like befriend them.
Yeah.
And we used to try to like bring them like offerings. Like,
did you think it was the same spider?
Yeah, they would be the same spiders. Oh, okay. Like, you know, you have a spider around your house that lives there.
Yeah.
So we would try to bring them offerings, like ants.
Yeah.
So that they wouldn't come, they would leave us alone. And so, because my dad told us the only times that spiders are out of their web is when they're looking for food or something like that.
Oh, yeah.
And so I was like, okay, well, let's bring them food and then they'll never leave and we could be their friend and they won't attack us.
Yeah.
So that was our reasoning. So
that's funny.
All right, let's keep going. This next story comes from us. Yeah, we wrote it. This next story comes from the Facebook group and it's submitted by our good friend and ugly Ben and it is called A Whole Other Life.
My whole world recently imploded. I have no idea what to do other than tell this story. I am 15 years old. I live in rural South Dakota with my dad for my whole life. My mom was kind of a mystery. When I would bring it up to my dad, he would always stop talking and get very hostile. He didn't like talking at all, so I learned to just stay in my room and watch cartoons. I switched to getting lost in video games when I was 7. I didn't really have any friends. My dad would lock me in when he left for work or what I thought was work. He was gone from 7 a.m. to as late as 8 p.m. some nights. I basically raised myself. Since I couldn't leave the house, I got very good at the game Rocket League. I would practice almost the whole day with small breaks to eat, sleep, etc. I was content with this life. Soon my dad stopped locking the door, and I would even pick up packages for him when he was out. He ordered a lot of packages. One day I guess I was feeling curious and looked inside one of those packages that arrived. I tried to open it so I could close it without my dad finding out. When I looked inside, it was just a lot of hard drives, like 20 or 30 I think. Nothing crazy, so I carefully put more tape back on the top and dropped it in his room. When I was leaving, I noticed a key on the floor my dad must have dropped. I examined the tag, but it was blank. Now's a good time to tell you about the door my dad had locked in the bathroom. I thought it was a water heater or something, so I was never curious about it. But this new key sparked my curiosity. I went and unlocked the door. What I found was utterly disturbing. It was 7 or 8 monitors set up in a semicircle surrounding a recliner. But it was what was on the monitors that was disturbing. It was inside of someone's house. It did not look familiar. The more I watched, the more sick I became. I watched as a young 24-year-old female sat on her couch and watched TV. She obviously had no idea the cameras were there. The most disturbing camera was located on the inside of a toilet bowl. But there were cameras in the shower, the bedroom, basically surveying the whole house. I didn't know what to do. I certainly didn't want to sit there and watch, but that's what happened. I was in utter shock. I snapped out of it when I heard the front door open. I ran out as fast as you can imagine and shut the door. I did not have time to lock it because I needed to get the key back into my dad's room. I gently placed it on the floor and stood back up just in time for my dad to walk in. He gave me a dirty look and said, "What the hell are you doing in my room?" I quickly blurted out that I was just dropping the package in there for him. When he noticed the key on the floor, I saw his face turn sour. I put my head down and walked by him out of the room. He didn't say anything and shut his door. I tried to take my mind off of what I just saw by starting up Rocket League, but the image of the monitors was like a painting on the inside of my eyes. I had to do something. I did not have a phone, but I did have an Xbox. You can't contact authorities on that, so I had to message one of my online friends and tell him to do it. He didn't believe me at first and thought it was a lame attempt at humor. I had never met him in person, so it felt awkward telling him all this. He finally called and the police arrived in an hour. My dad was sent to jail and is awaiting trial. After my dad was arrested, it was found that he had a second life I had no idea existed. He wasn't my dad at all. If you'd like to know the other creepy things my dad did in his life, please let me know and I can explain it all.
Oh my gosh, yeah, let us know the creepy things your dad did in his life. That's one of the craziest stories I think we've ever had here.
Yeah, no, it's very strange.
Yeah, okay, so...
And this was on Instagram message.
Wow, I thought this was going in a completely different direction than it ended up being. I thought we were going to learn that the dad did something bad to the mom, and that's why the mom was gone. Because he didn't like to talk about it. I thought we were going to figure out that he actually was, you know, maybe not the real dad or something like that. But okay, so what we do have here is your dad is a creep.
Yep.
Your dad is what we call a Jafar. A Jafar is a creeper, sexual in nature. Your dad is a Jafar. I'm sorry.
Okay, all right.
That is my word for guys like that.
Okay.
Yeah. Wait, who's that guy over there staring at us? I don't know, but he's a total Jafar.
Okay, all right. That's like, interesting.
Yeah, he's a creep.
Not a Jeffrey, a Jafar.
A Jafar, like from Aladdin, Jafar. All right.
I hope you're okay now. I'm assuming that you're living with somebody else.
Yeah, I assume you're safe now and of age to take care of yourself.
Well, yeah. I hope you're not still 15 years old. So, I mean, let us know what's going on if you want to. It's up to you.
We definitely want to hear more about it.
I'm actually happy that you called the cops.
Right. I think that it was a very brave move, especially since you had to do it through an Xbox. Luckily, your friend believed you. Your friend was probably like, "Oh, what? I'm a creep too. Dang." your friend might have been some 6-year-old dude playing on the Xbox. You're like, "Yeah, my dad's a creep. He's watching people go to the bathroom." You're like,
"Oh, is that weird?"
Like, "Oh, yeah. Is that weird? Well, does your dad know that you know a sex offender?"
Oh, yeah, I like that video.
The toilet part is the worst, and that's the biggest fear of anyone who's using a public restroom is that there's video cameras in the toilet. I don't know how this girl didn't notice a video camera in her toilet, because you clean the toilet. She must have never cleaned the toilet.
Did you? Well, yeah, very true. Chuck Berry at his restaurant put cameras in the toilet.
Yeah, that's a really weird thing. That's everybody's biggest fear. Every time I go to the bathroom in a public place, I'm like, is there going to be cameras in here? And I'm like, you know what? I shouldn't be embarrassed if there are cameras in here. I shouldn't be ashamed. I should just give it to them because that's what they want. They're creeps, not me.
Beep, beep.
Yeah, they're creeps, not me. So why am I feeling embarrassed if that's what they do? So that's the internal conversation I have to have with myself every time I use a public restroom. I'm like, what if there's cameras in here?
That's funny because go ahead. Sorry.
What if there's cameras in here? And then it's, well, if there are cameras in here, then they're watching me. What if they're watching me? Well, then that's their weird thing and let them have it.
Yeah. That's strange that's your fear about toilets. My fear is that something's going to come up and get me. Like the other day I was scrolling through Instagram and a creepy picture popped up, and then I instantly had to look in the toilet and make sure that the demon wasn't in there.
Yeah, and that was the last time he went on Kylie Jenner's Instagram. And with that, we want to say a special thank you to all of our uglies for sending us your stories. Don't forget, if you have a scary story, to send it to us on Facebook or on the Instagram at True Scary Stories with Edie. So now we're going to get into today's topic, which is kidnapped. At one point in our lives, this was everyone's biggest fear.
Yeah.
Right behind quicksand was kidnapped. And when you're a kid, that's the thing that's hounded on you. So it is still to this day. I mean, I guess you can get kidnapped as an adult.
Yeah, you can.
But just growing up with that fear, that's like the biggest thing. Kidnap. Don't get kidnapped. Don't get kidnapped. Don't talk to people. They're going to kidnap you.
Yeah. Well, I'm still scared. Well, yeah. And, you know, we had a lot of after-school programs and things like that you heard about.
Right.
Like,
don't get kidnapped. Yeah. It's lame to get kidnapped. All right. So these are some stories that, and there were a lot of stories. Apparently this is more, our parents were right to be afraid because it happens quite a lot. As you're going to hear, this first story is called "He's Selfish Way of Love," and it comes from Tenryu 3.
When I was a kid, my parents had split custody of my sibling and I. Weekdays with mother, weekends with father. Our father didn't like this agreement. One weekend, he took us and moved half a state away. He told us to use our middle names from now on. He dyed our hair so we looked like some weird European immigrants, pasty white with blonde hair, blue-green eyes. My father spoke fluent German, and we were not to talk to anyone. He had us learn to write in German, and with our non-dominant hands, he made me wear glasses. Then he found a crappy night shift job so he could work while we slept. This lasted about for what felt like a month. All I remember is one Wednesday, being tired of this whole lie, as I knew my mother didn't die in a house fire like my dad said, so I ripped the screen off the window of our second-story apartment and yeeted myself out of the window. I tried to convince my much younger sibling to go too, but that wasn't to be, which, in retrospect, would have killed them, so it was for the best. I ran across the parking lot to another unit. I knocked on the door of a nice old couple. They listened to my story, believed me, and hid me from my father as he went around looking for me. Apparently, he was in a panic and crying, so I know he did love us in his own selfish way. But he went to jail, then stole my identity when he got out. What a turd.
Oh, man, what a turd. Well, at least you didn't walk into his room and there was a whole camera set up with girls taking poops.
Yep.
You know, it could be worse. Your dad could be a Jafar, but no, he wasn't. He was just a rude guy. He's basically saying like, hey, I don't want to share weekends. I don't want you guys to go to your mom's on the weekend. So you guys have to change your hair color, learn how to do German, and also you're left-handed now. That's it. It's like,
and
yeah,
you wear glasses.
Yeah, obviously that's not gonna fly very well. These situations, it's always weird to me. They say kidnap it. It's like then their parent does it.
Yeah.
So it's like they're kidnapped from their mom.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it is a thing, you know,
right.
As we'll learn about all the styles of kidnappings.
Okay. I'm excited. Let's keep going. A Family of Redheads from Elemental Star.
On my third birthday, my family, some friends, and I went to Disneyland. We were one of the largest groups that day. We live in Orange City back then and had season passes, so we went often. My mom had made me my own custom Snow White dress for the occasion. It was my favorite movie. The gown she had made was more accurate than the costume sold in stores. Everyone loved it, myself included. As I was an adorable little red-headed toddler, a lot of people, friends, park workers, even a couple of strangers with small kids, would ask if they could take my picture. It was a slow day, so lines were pretty short. Overall, it was turning out to be a pretty good day. That is, until after lunch. My mom asked her friend to look after me while she goes to pay the bill. I'm a quiet and obedient kid, so I'm easy to watch. At this point, a man and a woman come up to me and tell me to go with them. I haven't had much experience with strangers before, and although I was shy, I was a natural people pleaser. I figured they just wanted to take my picture and had already asked my mom like everyone else had that day, so I went with them. It was not for pictures. The friend realizes I'm gone a few minutes later, and my mom flips out. When I was older, she told me it was the closest she has ever come to punching someone in the face. My mom is a kind and caring woman, but she is a definite mama bear when it comes to kids in general. Mom immediately notifies a worker. A radio call goes out to all the workers and the park goes on lockdown. People put on waders to start looking through the nearby waters. The front gates were closed so no one could go in or out. All of this took around 10 minutes tops. Disneyland does not mess around. Meanwhile, a retail worker is currently away from her radio and hadn't heard the call go out. Throughout the day, she had taken notice of our family. Like I said, it was a slow day and I was in a one-of-a-kind Snow White dress. More than that, my siblings and I were often considered somewhat of an oddity because all three of us are redheads. Even my mother is a redhead. In Southern California, a redhead is rare. A family of them? People tend to take notice. This retail worker remembered me, but she didn't recognize the two people who were making a beeline to the front gate with me. She just says, "Wait a minute, you don't belong with them." She scoops me up. The couple hightails it out of there. My Uncle Doug, my father's brother and not a redhead, is out searching for me near her store. She sees him, recognizes him from our party, and hands me over, all without realizing that she thwarted a kidnapping. "So, random Disneyland retail worker, I thank you. You may not realize it, but you saved a life that day. Rest assured, I've done many dumb things since that day, but this still pretty much takes the cake as my biggest screw-up to date."
Okay, wow, we got a lot of moving parts here. Yeah. That Disney worker probably got fired for something like being late. the next day. They're like, "Oh, she's late. All right, fire her." Yeah, because that's how that kind of thing goes.
No, that Disney worker is now Wally.
That, right, now she gets to be one of the dogs from Pirates of the Caribbean.
Yeah.
They upgraded her. Yeah, so we got a lot of things going on here. So do you think this kid would have been kidnapped had they not had such a sweet getup?
You know what? Maybe, possibly. It just depends on how quick the parents reacted. I mean, it's good. Disneyland does patrol like crazy.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe they do tell their retail workers, like, "Look, keep an eye on people. Remember people. You're going to run into them, you know, in case
right.
something looks weird."
But then if they're paying them minimum wage, it's kind of like, yeah, okay, I'll do that.
Yeah, well,
it depends how much they're paying them.
Yeah, I mean, I think Disneyland is, people
Plus,
love it.
Plus, you know, they have so many video cameras there that there's video cameras everywhere. So it's like,
yeah, I think the kidnappers went for a glitzy kid, you know, one decked out redhead, you know, they were like, "Oh, this is the ultimate prize."
Yeah,
and
yeah,
didn't
yeah.
realize it was the most obvious.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
It's like stealing a
Mona Lisa.
Yeah, or it's like stealing a, I almost said Lexapro, Lexus, or something, I don't know any nice cars, a Lamborghini, that's what I was trying to think of.
Yeah.
It's like stealing a purple Lamborghini, it's like, where are we going to find that? Oh, it's right there.
Yeah, yep.
So, yeah, maybe you should have taken one of the brunette kids with the brown eyes.
Yeah.
Sorry if this is coming off insensitive, but...
No, I mean, you shouldn't be taking
when
kids,
when you steal
guys.
A car, you steal a 2002 Toyota Corolla. You don't steal a purple Lamborghini, you know?
Yeah.
You look for kids that look like Nick and I. Brown hair.
Yeah.
Brown hair, small. So it also reminded me of a story of when my mom also made me a really cool outfit when I was a kid. She made me some bell-bottom pants that had my name on the bottom.
Mm-hmm.
And all the kids made fun of me. And they're like, "Where, your mom made those? That's so lame."
That's funny.
They're like, "That's lame. She put your name on them, so we know she made them."
But that's good, because if you would have gotten kidnapped, they'd be like, "Oh, this the one with the weird bell bottoms of their name?
The one with the ugly bell bottoms?
Yeah, we know her."
No, it actually is probably more dangerous, because then someone can walk up and be like, "Edie, Oh, hey, yeah, I know your mom. I know you, yeah. That's why my mom always veered from not having our names on things, because then people could do that. But when you have a name like Edie, you have to watch your brothers and sisters get all the cool pencils and all the cool stamps with their names on it. Because my brothers and sisters' names are Amber, Amanda, Thomas, and Joshua.
Oh, the basic
ones.
Yeah,
the basic names. So they always got all the cool stuff with their names on it.
They got the keychains that changed colors.
Yeah, the license plate keychains. I got nothing. Edie? Edie? I always got, like, cool grandkid.
That's funny.
I never got a name thing, so I totally get it. All right, let's keep going. Pen Pals from Goosling.
My brother-in-law was kidnapped for a day once when we were in high school. He was on a school trip to Chicago for a couple of days. He and a friend wanted to find some weed, so they asked some random guys on the street. Guys are like, yeah, come with us. They end up in the projects in a really bad neighborhood. They realize something is not right. They try to leave, but the guys separate them. My brother-in-law gets taken to an ATM where they try to make him empty his account. Instead, my brother-in-law runs, losing a shoe in the process. The kidnapper pulls a gun but decides not to shoot, and my brother-in-law gets away. His friend is still back in the projects. His friend decides his best option is to befriend these guys. They eventually let him leave and even exchange phone numbers. This only lasted a few hours, but still was not a fun experience for anyone.
Okay, I actually heard a story like this before, where this guy gets kidnapped and they drive him around for like 5 days. And they just have him for 5 days because they're trying to get a ransom for him.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh. Yeah, and so he tries to be their friend and all of that kind of stuff. But this is really funny because it's like, okay, this guy gets away. They try to get him. He runs away, loses a shoe, whatever. Then his friend is just like, okay, well, I'm going to be friends with these guys. And then he's like, okay, let's go get my friend. I know where he lives.
Yeah.
Oh, he got away? Let me show you guys where he lives. And that would be really funny if he just shows up at the guy's house. Oh, I'm friends with them now. Sorry. Yeah. So we're going to need that bank account.
I mean, it's funny to me because it's like, obviously these guys weren't kidnappers. It's just they made that decision and then they didn't realize like, oh, right. We weren't prepared for this.
Right. It's like they were drug dealers, but then they didn't have anything. So they're like, I guess we're kidnappers now.
Yeah.
They're like, what kind of drug dealers don't have drugs? Okay, we're kidnappers. Come on. We need money to buy drugs. We got an order coming in. All right. Anything else?
I'm happy that they became friends.
Yeah. And some say they're still friends to this day. Even named their children after each other.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Hey, gunman.
Yeah, gun guy.
That's kidnapping dude and that's gun guy.
Yeah, and this is my son, don't tell the police. Kept Calling, written by Dunnan Mushi.
This happened when I was 5 years old. Someone approached me at school saying that the principal was calling me, so I followed her. When we were near the office, she said something in general to no one in particular, and she dragged me outside of the school. She talked to the guard. The guard looked at me. Then we went out. She bought a bus ticket to another city that was almost 4 hours away. She told the bus driver that someone would pick me up in front of a church there. They just have to drop me off. She said that I was okay to ride by myself. It was a long ride. I was seated between two old sweet ladies. When we reached the church, there was no one there, so the bus driver didn't leave me. When the bus reached the last stop and everyone was leaving, that's the first time I cried. The bus driver called the police. At the police station, they asked for my telephone number. The kidnapper took my ID. My mom would make us memorize our number. Luckily, I remembered it. The chief and my parents had a conversation. It was already night when my dad arrived, and it was midnight when we arrived at home. After that, we thought that would be the end of it. But no, the kidnapper kept calling us. I remember my mom hugging me tightly whenever my dad spoke to my kidnapper. I wasn't allowed to answer phone calls. At school, reporters would interview me at the principal's office.
What? This is the weirdest story ever. It's like the worst kidnapping ever. Okay, just get on this and just go wait for the other kidnappers. And then the other kidnapper's like, oh, man, I didn't show up. Sorry, man, I overslept.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I just kidnapped a kid. Okay, it's fine. I have his phone number. We'll just call, talk to his parents, be like, hey, we did have your kid.
And we want him.
I'm sorry my friend didn't show up. But that doesn't mean that we didn't kidnap your kid. So can you please drop your kid back off at the church so we can come get him?
Yeah. I mean, I guess the kidnapper at that point is like, I know how to contact you, so I will terrorize you hoping to get money out of you. Because obviously, it's, drug addicts is more likely what it is because they don't have a good plan.
Yeah, the execution is very sloppy. This is also leading me to believe this was a drug idea. Okay, well, we can't steal something, get a kid. But then the way that they go to the school and they pull him out in front of the guards is like...
I know.
Very bold. So yeah, I think you're right about the drug thing.
Yeah.
I think if it was anything else, they would have been successful because it seems like they made so many mistakes and pretty much the system failed this kid. Like the bus driver, the old ladies, the guard. I mean, up until the kid starts crying at the end, like there were so many times that this could have gone so bad.
Yeah. Well, at least the bus driver didn't leave the kid and was like, well, you're staying with me.
He's a kid, yeah.
And I guess that's where you have to teach your children, first off, memorize the phone number.
Mm-hmm.
Second off, teach them to cry. Like, okay, if something weird is happening, just cry. Just say something weird is happening.
Luckily, this kid got kidnapped by the wet bandits from Home Alone. They were really bad at it.
They were very bad.
It was like being kidnapped by Team Rocket. Like, what?
Yeah.
Jesse, James, okay, we're in the kidnapping business now. Like, were they kidnapped by the bad guys on Scooby-Doo? Like, how do they get this so wrong?
I know
the bad why guys they kept from Scooby Doo.
No. I know why they kept calling, because they paid for the bus ticket.
They're like, man, we need our money back. Come on.
Yeah, we need drugs.
All right. Bad Grandparents, by James Jond.
My mother and father were going through a divorce. Our mother was horribly abused by both my father and secretly by my grandparents. They were monsters to my mother, but kept it really hidden. Our grandparents were nice to us. One day, my father convinced my mother to let my younger sister, 10 years old, and I, 13, stay the night at our grandparents. As they were still trying to finalize the divorce, my mom wasn't mentally stable enough to really refuse us going there, especially for just one night. In fact, after the divorce, it took her about a year and a half before she actually started to recover. During that time, I just played my sister's advocate for anything she needed. My grandparents lived in a nice gated community, big house and all. Everything was fine for that first day and night, but in the morning, my phone wasn't working. I hadn't known why, but didn't think much of it. I just thought service was bad in the area. Then my father, who didn't swim with us the previous day, said he was going to the store to buy a swimsuit to join us. He left, and I didn't think he'd be gone for long. Our mother was supposed to pick us up that afternoon anyways. Well, the day went by, phone still wasn't working, father was still gone, and mother didn't pick us up. Our grandparents said that mom said it was okay if we spent another night. This is where I sensed something else was going on. I was really tired, so was my sister, so we went to bed. I planned on figuring out what was really happening the following day. I asked my sister if she thought anything was off. She said she had a bad feeling about all of this from the start. Next morning, I checked my phone to see if it was working, but to no avail. Father's still gone, mother not present. Now keep in mind, the phone I had was a really, really old smartphone that could barely work, just text and stuff. Most of the time, it wouldn't send notifications if something was wrong or if I got a text, so I'd have to check all my contacts to see if anything new was sent. Still nothing from my mom or dad. That's when it hits me. Grandparents had everyone keep their phones in the kitchen so you wouldn't stay up. So someone could have tampered with it. I took out the back, and there was no SIM card. I never take out the SIM for any reason. I immediately went into this is a kidnapping mode. I started raising hell, throwing dishes, silverware, anything I could get my hands on. I would talk back, get loud, constantly annoy. An hour or two into me flipping out, our mother was at the house banging on the door. I grab my sister, our electronics, swimsuit, spare clothes, and rush out the door and into the car. My mom says to my grandparents, "Don't you dare do anything with my kids again." My sister is in hysterics. After we get home, our mom tells me in private that they did everything they could to keep her away. They even told the security at the front gate to never let her in. We were planning on taking legal action, but with us being super poor and them being super rich, we thought it wouldn't be worth the time. Got the divorce completely filed, moved the hell out of that area, haven't talked to them since. It's always the people you think you're safe with that'll try to kidnap you. And even though this wasn't a very violent one, it was still very scary to my little sister and I.
Yeah, who wants to live with grandparents who make you put your electronics in the kitchen?
Yeah.
That's some psycho. That's the moment I would have been like, oh, something's not right here. That's so creepy. Yeah, you guys got to put your electronics in the kitchen. so you can't stay up all night. It's like, no, you want to cut me off from contact with 911.
Yeah, no, obviously these are the dad's dad right. and mom, you know, and they were just like, this is our grandkid, we're going to help our, you know.
Right. She lets them take their phones to bed.
Yeah.
What is this? Europe. I couldn't think of...
okay,
I was
right.
trying to think of things that grandparents might be scared of. What is this?
Portland.
Portland. Yeah, grandparents are...
Damn liberals.
Yeah, definitely scared. What is this? Fascism.
Yeah.
But yeah, I guess... I think they definitely would have, especially if your parents are going through a divorce. That's like when people do it.
Yep.
Well, as we learned from German Dad, that's when you do it because they don't want to share custody. And it's also the dad's at fault, too, because it's like you went off to get a swimsuit and never came back. You knew what was going on.
Yeah, I don't think the dad...
why did he come back?
I think the dad
back?
Was in on it.
Yeah.
I don't think the dad was, like, mistakenly doing any of this. He was like, you are holding on to my kids.
Right.
While I get custody and make my wife, hopefully ex-wife, seem deranged.
Right, yeah.
I'm going to break her down.
Well, and... Luckily, this kid was smart enough to realize what was happening, just starts breaking things,
yeah.
which grandparents hate.
Oh, yeah.
Grandparents are all against breaking things, especially plates, stuff like that. And then at that point, they might have been like, maybe we don't want these kids after all.
Tainted with her blood.
It's so funny, these stories, because it's like there's always so many parents who are like, being a parent is so hard. And then these people are like, okay, we'll take them. All right, fine. We got them over here. But, yeah, I think that was the right thing to do, to start raising hell, breaking old people stuff.
Yeah.
Luckily, with the thing about grandparents, if they ever kidnap you, is you could just break their hip.
Yeah.
Just put their life alert in the kitchen and break their hip and be like, yeah, see? Now you can't get into the kitchen until daytime.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Break their collective spoons.
Yeah, break their collective spoons, those little egg Fabergé egg things.
Yeah.
They love those. And open a Sharpie on their yellow... on their yellow couch. And they have those, like, wood paneling. Instead of walls, they have, like, wood.
That's
Why do all grandparents have that?
I don't know.
Break their decorative mirrors.
Yeah, and wake up at 10 p.m. and just walk around the house like, oh, man, we've been the grandparents. We've been asleep for 3 hours.
Yeah, and then pour out all their grape nuts.
Yeah.
One worse than two.
I'm a male, and I was 20 years old when I was hijacked. Middle of the winter, lots of ice and snow, low visibility. I was driving my 92 Geo slowly down my home street. It was about 3 a.m. My driver's window was down to help keep the windshield from fogging. A person steps out onto the ice, into the middle of the road, and stands there with his arms out like he's flagging me down for help. I stopped instead of trying to swerve around him on the ice. I figured it must be an emergency. It's a narrow street. His friend comes out from between the parked cars on the side of the road. I didn't see guy number two until the razor blade was up against my throat. He tells me to unlock the doors, then stands there while guy number one gets in the seat behind me. Then guy number two gets in the passenger seat, rests his arm on my seat with the razor next to my head. Guy number one tells me everything is cool, just drive them to where they want to go. I take his directions. He and I make idle chatter while I drive mostly on the highway to a part of town I didn't know. Guy 2 keeps threatening different ways he could cut me. Guy 1 keeps telling him to chill out. It's about a 45-minute drive, maybe more. They were both trashed, but I started to get an idea of what was happening. They met earlier that night at a bar, then went with a group to an after party in my neighborhood. They got kicked out of the party and started looking for a ride. They said they had to go across town to sell shower curtains. I didn't bother to ask them what they were actually selling. We get to this bad neighborhood and pull down an alley. We stop behind these run-down condos. I don't know why I wasn't terrified before, but I was then. Drug deals can go bad, you know, and I drove these guys there. Guy 2 goes in. Guy 1 is sitting behind me, still chatting with me. Guy 2 comes back, no problems. He splits the money with number 1, and then we drive off. Guy number 1 gives me some seemingly random directions, then points at a parking lot that he once dropped off in. I stop. He gets out. Guy 2, thankfully, gets out as well. 1 turns around and starts yelling at 2. You're not going with me. I don't know you. I don't know you. Get back in the car. I lock my doors and roll up the stupid window. Didn't hear anything distinct after that. And I still don't know why I stayed behind to watch them argue. I left really quick when 1 pulled a little revolver out of his pants and stuck the gun in 2's face. I went home. Went to bed.
Okay, what a weird story. All right, so we have guy one, guy two. The first sentence, this guy, it was a weird way to put a sentence. So I am a male, and I was 20 years old when I was young. What was that sentence?
No, okay. When I was hijacked.
All right, so these guys don't know each other. They decide to get in this deal together, but how, I have no idea. So essentially, one guy is like bad cop, the other guy is good cop. The other guy probably didn't even want to do it or whatever. But so they get this guy to stop, which I could have told him you're never supposed to stop. People are trying to flag you down. They pretend like they're in distress, and then they do this kind of stuff.
Yeah.
So I feel bad, but you always like kind of have to speed up and not stop. Like they're going to try to get in front of your car and act like, hey, you're going to hit me if you don't stop. You just got to hit them with your car.
Yeah, no, just don't stop. I don't.
Because then it's like, why did you come in front of my car?
Yeah.
But yeah, they want you to stop so that they can break your windows, grab you, whatever. Rob you, whatever it is. So that was the first mistake. Then these guys get in the car. I like how this one guy is being nice and they're just talking about like regular stuff. He's like, yeah, I'm a Sagittarius. What are you? Oh, I'm a Leo. Oh, I hear Leos are really cool.
I could cut your face, man.
And the other guy, the other guy's like, yeah, I could cut you like this. I would love to cut your nose off. They're like, hey, man, just be cool. Yeah, he's a Cancer, right? That's what you said? Anyway, so do you know like what I'm compatible with? Or I could cut your nose off if I wanted to. It's like, hey, man. Come on. Yeah, I could cut you all down your back. Like, yo,
whoa,
yo.
Whoa.
So then they get there, they get to the drug deal, and then we find out they don't even really know each other. In the obvious Cancer-Leo relationship,
yes.
They break ties with each other, and then the other guy, who's just kind of his friend a little bit, is just out there, and he just leaves them. He's like, hey, man, I thought you were a Sagittarius.
Well, guy one had a gun the whole time.
Yeah, but he's like, man, you left me out here? I thought we were compatible. You said we were compatible. Man, I'm never going to trust Aquariuses again. At an employee party, written by Van Sanchez 3D.
I was lucky. I was only 18 when this happened. Now that I'm older, I would react completely different. My then boyfriend worked at Opryland Hotel in Nashville. He invited me to their annual employee party. I got dressed up, went all out, borrowing the tallest heels you'd ever seen, and bought the shortest dress I've ever worn. The party was packed. We were having a really great time. Boyfriend had to use the restroom. While I waited for him, a very large drunk guy approached me and just said, "You're hot," and threw me over his shoulder. I didn't panic at first. I just tried to get down, blushing all the while. But he had a pretty good grip. We were in a crowded room. Nothing could happen, right? He started toward the door. I started kicking and calling for help. Not a single person even took note. We made it all the way to the door when his friend came running up and demanded he let me go. His friend apologized for the drunk buffoon and tried to play it off. They ran off right as my boyfriend came out of the bathroom. I didn't see them again. My boyfriend didn't leave my side for the rest of the night. I'm still amazed no one tried to help me.
Yeah, I guess I wonder if people were just thinking like, oh, they're just messing around. Because it's like, it's such a weird situation. It seems like, oh, something bad can be happening. I mean, there's so many people here.
Yeah, why would he attempt this? He works here.
What is this guy, like the slow guy from of Mice and Men? Like, who just picks up somebody up? Okay, you come with me now.
Yeah, but we've seen that. We've even seen videos where dudes, when they get drunk enough, they do that. They just grab girls. They're like, okay, come on.
But what was the next thing that was going to happen? He was going to be like, okay, you're my girlfriend now, right? Like,
I mean, he probably thought that was a move in his drunken state.
Yeah, and he thought he was being funny or something like that.
But then it was too far.
Right, because obviously, like, where does this end up? Like, I can't leave. I don't know you. I don't have anywhere to go. So, yeah, that is, like, very dangerous. I wonder if his friend knows that this guy is kind of a loose cannon, a very scary dude. And so that's why he was the only one who's like, oh, no, this is not okay.
Yeah.
Because if it's his friend and he's like, oh, he's just a joker, you know, he might not have been, but he must have known this guy is dangerous.
Yeah.
Because he was like, no, we can't do that. Anyway, very scary. Let's keep going. That Suburban, written by This Is Water.
This happened when I was 13 years old. I was walking down the street with two friends. We were heading to a park in the neighborhood across a busy street from my neighborhood. Right after we cross the street, this beat-up Suburban drives by and someone in the car yells out, "Drugs or penis?" We kind of looked at each other puzzled, shrugged it off, and kept on walking. Not too long after that, this Suburban made another appearance right in front of our path. One of my friends, Anna, recognized one of the guys inside. She said it was one of her neighbors. They stopped, and we hung out in their parked Suburban. Anna seemed to be flirting with him. She drew a smiley face on his arm with a Sharpie, and suddenly he flipped. As in, he got out of the Suburban, threw her into the nearby ditch, took that Sharpie, and drew all over her face and arms and any skin that was exposed. So that was off-putting. I really didn't know how to react. Anna laid there for a bit, clearly bewildered, but she didn't seem that hurt. My second friend, Andrew, was behind the Suburban, clearly freaked out. Andrew and I are trying to make sure Anna is okay, while also still being really unsure of what to expect from these guys. All of a sudden, the driver gets out, picks me up, slings me over his shoulders, and just throws me in the back through the double doors. I didn't see that coming. Both guys get in the Suburban, and they start driving off. I'm pretty much in shock. I look back and I see Anna and Andrew in complete shock as well, wondering if they were joking or how serious this matter would become. I look around me. The first thing I see, what I would later find out, was a potato launcher. I also saw a baseball bat, rope, and lots of tools. There was only one seat in the back, behind the passenger seat in the main cab, and that's where I sat. I was trying to pay attention to where we were going so I would know how to get back safely. Meanwhile, these guys are talking to each other like I'm not even there. They're even asking each other where's a good spot to do terrible things. At some point, they offer me a drink of something. It's in a water bottle, and the liquid is slightly opaque. I assume it's drugs, so in my super adrenaline state, I say yes. I take the drink, and I throw it out of the open window. I was thinking that I could take getting beat up, but I couldn't fight back if I was drugged, so screw that scenario even happening. Fast forward a little bit, they pulled into a secluded park. The kind of park you might drive by a million times and not even know it was there. The view of the park was shielded from the main road by a huge line of very dense trees. This was my first time learning about the park. I noticed one car in the parking lot as they were pulling in. It's a family with two small children, packing up and getting ready to leave. The two guys keep going past the parking lot and pull to the very end of this park. They even drove on the grass to get there. They stop, they get out. They are totally ignoring me at this point, or acting like I'm so insignificant and such a non-threat to them. They're sharing a cigarette and just talking about whatever in front of the Suburban. I'm still in the seat behind the main passenger seat. I notice the door is locked, but the window is down. I think for a second, jump out of that window, and run like hell towards the car and family. I make it to them. They call 911. The two guys got in their Suburban to chase after me, but I managed to dodge them by zigzagging, running, and all that. They leave the park once they see me talking to the family. The cops come. For some reason, the guys came back to the park. I guess they couldn't tell the cops were there from the road, so they got caught. They were in jail for about 2 weeks, and then they got 2 years probation. It doesn't end there. One day, I'm walking home from my house to check my mail. What do I see? None other than that Suburban. Turns out one of the guys moved in 2 houses down from me. I was like, hell no, and got a restraining order real quick. I saw that Suburban around town from time to time, and yes, it terrified me. Found out a couple of years later from Anna that the guy had died from an overdose. Wasn't sad at all.
Yeah, of course. Okay, so something really bad was about to happen to you, and luckily you got out of there. We should have known these guys were losers when they pulled up saying drugs or penis.
Yeah.
Like, what? What are you basically telling you what they had to offer?
Yeah.
That was basically the selling point. They're like, what? We said drugs or penis. They hung out with us, so we gave them drugs. Penis was coming. And their idiotic brains are probably like, man, she called the cops because we didn't do penis.
We forgot penis.
We gave her a drug, but we forgot penis.
Yeah.
We promised penis. Sorry, I've told the kids listening if you're hearing that.
Well, I changed the word. But,
okay. What was it before? Dingling? I'm just kidding.
Yeah, well, close enough. Yeah, there you go. That would have been a good one.
Drugs and dingling. And the girls were like, oh, okay.
Okay, well, that's a sweet way of putting it.
Yeah, so the girl draws a heart, but her friend draws a heart on him, and then he just draws all over her face. Of course, I'm assuming he drew wieners, dinglings, all over her face. She's over there like, what? That was weird. And then they try to force her to go to this park. Nothing good has ever happened at a park.
Yeah.
And the whole history of parks, nothing ever has good happened at a park, especially a park like that. I went to a park like that once with my boyfriend, and we were kissing, and a cop pulled over and told our parents that we were kissing in the car.
Oh, man.
And we were teenagers. We were like 17. I was like, what a narc.
Yeah.
She called my dad and was like, your daughter was kissing.
They were kissing.
At a park. And then she drove me home in the police car. I got in trouble.
Well, that's what happens,
for
man.
Kissing in a park.
Yeah.
Because we were underage. Yeah, and she was like, how old are you? And I was like, 17. She was like, how old are you? And he was like, 17. And she was like, She was hoping that he was like 30
older.
Years old.
Oh, my God.
But she called my dad, and I got in trouble.
Yeah, of course.
And then my boyfriend, the cop called his mom, but his uncle answered. And his uncle covered for him.
Yeah, oh, that's cool.
He's like, oh, I will talk. Yes, I'm his dad. I'll have a talk with him.
Oh, man.
So he didn't get in trouble, but I got in trouble.
Of course you did. Yeah, this is a scary situation.
Scariest situation so far.
It's funny because I've seen these
because
kind of...
Because I was the person in the car.
No, I've seen these interactions where someone, you know, like the girl was drawing on the guy. The guy was obviously on drugs. That's what it was. They were on drugs, and they were just bad dudes. You know what I'm saying? But at that time, when you're that young, you think that's cool. You know what I mean? And then you get yourself in a weird situation.
Yeah, you should have known how bad they were because they were sharing a cigarette.
Yeah.
If you're sharing a cigarette, you are some bad mofos.
Yeah.
It's like, we don't even have enough money for our own cigarette.
Yeah,
we are at the bottom of the barrel.
We have no plans for the future.
Yeah, we don't care about germs, nothing.
Yeah, so I'm happy that she got away once again. It's what we've said before. Don't act polite. Run.
Right. The only reason that she didn't get penis was because, she ran out of there. She wasn't, and she was brave enough to do it. So make sure that you run and make a big deal. You know, just like when we were talking about the grandparents' plates. Kill the grandparents' plates. You know, break the spoons.
That sentence could have ended it. So many weird moments there.
Right. Turn off the 500 Club.
Turn off Fox News.
Right, exactly.
Hey!
All right, let's keep going. All over a girl.
I was charged with kidnapping a guy 8 years ago. I just got released from prison. I decided to move to this nothing town to stay out of trouble and sober up. I met this girl and fell for her instantly. Thing was, she had a boyfriend. I didn't care. I went for it anyways. We ended up dating. But when her parents found out I just got out of prison, they said she couldn't date me. When she persisted, they told her that she at least had to give the guy she was already dating a month at least. So now I'm dating this girl who's being forced to date this wannabe gangster. He's texting her, telling her how he always loved her. Her and I always talk about how we wanted him to go away. One day, I'm driving by the high school delivering furniture. He walks in front of the truck and calls me on. I told him, I'm gonna drop off this couch and come back and kick your teeth in. He must have thought I was joking because I surprised him when I showed back up. I ended up popping my buddy's trunk, dragging the guy to the car, and throwing him in just to spook him a little. Guys in small towns have big mouths. I feel in the big city, people learn quick to shut up or put up. We drive around the block a few times and then let him out. Told him to watch his mouth. Cops end up coming to my work the same day. Charge me for kidnapping. I go to court for it for 2 years until the judge finally says, this should have never gotten to this point, guys. Fighting over a girl is silly. Then he chews out the cop for it. We were all adults. I was 22. Dude was 19. Anyways, moral of the story, don't throw people in the back of cars.
Oh, right. Who hasn't been, though, in the back of a car, or in the back of trunk of a car?
You know? I remember when I got my Ford Focus, they had a little latch so you can, if you are stuck in the back of your trunk, you could open it from inside the trunk.
Yeah, right. I hate when that happens, when you put yourself in the back.
And you're like, oh, no.
And when you're alone and you're like, I don't just want to get in the back of my own trunk. I want to see what it's like. What is the vibe, you know?
You know what? I actually have a friend. I don't know if you know him. He's a
and
comic.
And he gets stuck in there.
No, he was kidnapped by gunpoint, thrown in the trunk of his car. He actually tells a big story about it.
It sounds hilarious.
Yes, he makes it funny. And he broke through his little taillight.
Yeah, that's what you're supposed to do.
So that he could show his fingers. And luckily somebody on the road saw that somebody was in the...
I would see that, and I'd be like, oh, look, someone's waving to us. I'd be like, hi. I'd be like, hi. Oh, that's so nice.
Yeah, but a lot of people don't know that kidnapping, literally, all you have to do is hold somebody, mm-hmm. and then say, you move over there, and that's a kidnapping charge.
Right, I've been kidnapped. Okay, so I thought the story was going that this girl was in high school and he wasn't really supposed to be dating
her. I was a little
her.
Like, ooh, where is that too?
Yeah, so he just got released from prison. And
what
you know,
a catch.
You know how it is. Yep. You want to find yourself a girlfriend right away.
Yep.
I don't know if you've been to prison. It's a sausage fest.
Well, you got your prison girlfriend.
Right.
Then you need your real
right,
girlfriend.
Right, 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 right. And your prison girlfriend is just a dude with long hair.
Yeah. You know what? I had a buddy that went to prison, and he told me, he was like, man, I ran into one of the dudes out of prison who in prison
he
had
gay.
A prison girlfriend.
And then...
And out, well, because, yeah, they're
and
like...
And now he's like, nah, man,
when I'm free,
about...
I'm straight.
Yeah,
in prison, it's different.
We don't talk about that anymore.
Yep.
So he gets released. He's like, I gotta find myself a girlfriend. He goes and he meets this girl. She's already got a gangster boyfriend. Her parents are like, this guy just got released from prison. He's a little bit worse than the guy she was dating. You know, he's a bad guy. He's trying to be a gangster. He's texting her all the time saying, I love you. You know, like gangsters do.
Yeah, we live in Bakersfield, so, you know, it's
right.
kind of weird.
He was a wannabe gangster. He was texting her all the time being like, I love you. Like, well, that doesn't sound very gangster. Okay. So then you steal this guy's girlfriend. He comes over to fight you, I guess.
Yeah.
And he's thinking you're not actually gonna fight him. Like, you're right there. Why wouldn't you fight him? Does he not know you were in prison? You're driving a truck. Obviously, you have questionable moral character.
Yeah. The only job you can get is moving furniture because they're right. like, yeah, it's fine.
Everybody in a truck will fight you, even if you don't want to fight. They don't want to fight you, or you don't want to fight them. If you just look at them, they'll fight you. So you should have known this guy had to put down his double sectional to go over, kick your teeth in.
His L-shaped couch.
Right, right. He's like, let me put this ottoman down.
Yeah, man, you ain't even ready for this.
Man, when did I get this ottoman inside?
As soon as I move this china cabinet for these grandparents who stole their grandkids.
And they broke all the china. After I put down this china cabinet full of nice spoons that all these kids destroyed, I'm coming for you. And he says, I'm going to kick your teeth in. And the guy just like waiting, like, yeah, this guy wanted to fight too. Then he just says like, okay, get in the trunk.
Yeah.
And the guy's probably thinking I'm going to die.
Yeah. Oh yeah, definitely.
Because it's like, there's one thing to be like, hey, we're going to get in a fight. And then another thing, when someone stuffs you in your trunk, you're like, wow, this was
and
really.
And drives you around.
This is really, really not what I bargained for. And you should have known, because that guy was in a truck. Just because someone's in a truck doesn't mean they don't know have friends who have trunks.
Yeah.
Closed trunks. So he gets his friend, a good friend, great friend, to come over and be like, hey, drive this guy around in your trunk. That's a true friendship.
That's
a Sagittarius-Leo relationship.
That's such a dangerous friendship. And that's the problem, is that when you are hood, and you grow up, you always, you know...
You gotta have your hood friends.
Well, you have a friend that's a little too hood, and you're like, man, he's gonna get me in trouble.
Yeah, I definitely have friends like that.
Yeah, I thought it was funny that the parents were like, you gotta at least give your current boyfriend
a
month.
Give him a month.
Oh, get out of the contract with him.
Yeah, exactly. Sleep with him.
Come on.
You can't not sleep with him, right?
Yeah, I get that the prison dude's pretty handsome.
Yeah, we raised you better than that. Than to not date a guy for less than a month. That's not how we raised you.
Yeah.
So anyways, all of that, they just want to spook him, end up accidentally kidnapping him. I mean, if I was the judge, I would probably just be the same thing. I'd be like, this isn't really worth my time. And I'd also be like, you're a snitch for pressing charges. You snitch. You wanted to fight. You came up to a guy in a truck. He had to move an ottoman. He moved it. Then you got, you should, that's what you get.
How?
And then you snitched. You're not a gangster. And I see why that girl didn't like you.
How little of a town, though, is this where the judge is like, y'all just being stupid over a girl?
Right.
I dated her for a month.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, it's not hard to get a month.
Yeah,
you know?
Over Marlene.
Right, and then the judge is like, I sentence you to 1 month dating her again. it must be a small town. Sounds like, Aunt B is going to be there and the whole gang. Opie and all of them.
Well, a lot of gangsters, when they get out of prison, they have that choice. And sometimes when they're young like this, that choice is
well,
the family
like
saying, you got to leave town
and go somewhere
else. It sounds
like he was trying to get his life on track,
moving
furniture. And this guy, you know, he wanted to fight. And then he snitched. So, Yeah, I have no respect. All right, let's keep going. And with that, we are on to our last story. Before we get into it, don't forget to join the Facebook group and share your scary story so we can read it. Also, the Instagram, which is at True Scary Stories with Edie. And check out Just the Terror every Sunday. And also give us 5 stars because it does really help the podcast out. It helps us reach more people, which means more people hear our ad, which means more money for us during quarantine because Nick is not working.
Mm-mm.
A lot of us are not working anymore. So it does help when you give us 5 stars because it makes more people listen to the podcast. So help us out. Other than that, any other announcements?
Nope, just add us on Instagram.
All right. So this last story is called A Different Kind of Abduction. And it comes to us from Willow T.
This happened a long time ago. I've only told my husband and my sister about it. It still makes me feel the same way, eviscerated. My sister was present when it happened, but she didn't remember seeing or experiencing anything. She has since passed away due to cancer, which she refused to have treated until it was too late. This happened started when I was 15. It was June, the summer of 1978. Here goes what little I remember. My mother, my aunt, my little sister 5 years younger than me, and my 4 cousins, all 2+ years younger than me, took my aunt's station wagon to a tent revival located about 10 miles east of Tyler, Texas. When the revival took a break, all the kids took the opportunity to evade our parents and run off outside to chase each other around. It was already dark outside, even though it was the middle of the summer. I ran behind the tent for the revival. It was like a circus tent. I was standing there, relaxing, when I saw a bright light in the neighboring field. At first I thought it was a tractor, but what tractor is 20 or so feet off of the ground with bright blue lights? I looked again more closely and realized it was a disc-shaped levitating craft. It had a ladder going from the side facing me to the ground, and there were 5 grayish-blue, leathery-skinned creatures, 2 climbing down the ladder and 3 already on the ground. I soon realized that as I was staring at them, they were staring and gesticulating at me. Just then, my sister ran up and tried to get me to join their game of chase. But I told her I was watching a UFO and aliens and I pointed at them. She laughed at me and said something like, "Yeah, right," and ran off to continue their chase. That is the last thing I remember until I heard my mother calling for me some 4 hours later. I was still standing there behind the tent, although my oldest, most serious, and reliable male cousin swore that he had looked for me there, and I was not there. The craft was no longer in the field. It was hovering in the night sky, only visible because of its blue lights. We all loaded into the station wagon. I made sure to sit in the back end so I could watch for the craft. It followed us almost all the way home. I was too freaked out to tell anyone. Afterwards, I frequently experienced incidents of lost time on a regular basis. Sometimes I lost days. I developed an intense fear of heights and flying, spiders, doctors, and hospitals. I never flew in any craft that I am aware of until I was in my 20s. I was in college when the massive time loss started. No one that I was close to was around to notice, except my roommate and my teachers who complained about me missing class and sometimes tests. Around this time, I also noticed the occurrence of false memories. I remember doing things like homework and eating at the college cafeteria with my roommate, only to find out that I hadn't done it or be told by my roommate that I wasn't there. Never knew what to make of that. Kinda thought I was going crazy there for a while. When I was 27, the university doctor operated on my arm to remove what he thought was a normal cyst, only to find a strange metallic chip-like object. The no-big-deal surgery painted his office red with my blood. He had to call in help to complete the surgery. I don't know what happened to the chip other than that he stated he was sending it in to see what it was. He left the university shortly after. During my early 30s, this kind of phased out to where it wasn't a frequent occurrence anymore. It gradually seemed to almost stop. But even after marrying my second husband, I would still lose a few hours at least once a month and had random nosebleeds a few times a month. In recent years, this has seemingly stopped. I hope it stays that way. On a note, early in my current marriage, I was trying to get pregnant. My husband and I went to a prominent doctor in Dallas, Texas. He ran some tests and did some exams and told me that my eggs had been harvested. I honestly don't know what to think about that. I wondered if a doctor could really tell if that had happened, and if so, where are my eggs? All of this is just too weird. Maybe I am just nuts. It's kind of a better option, I think.
All right, well, I don't think you're nuts because, well, how would your eggs be harvested if you didn't do that.
Yeah, no, it's
you
very,
know, like that's something you can prove. Like, hey, I don't have eggs. Why don't I have eggs? I was supposed to have them when I was born with them. So yeah. What's up with that? I mean, I guess I never checked to make sure that I had them, but doesn't everybody have them?
I guess there's no way that girls know how many eggs they have.
Right.
But they do have a limited amount of eggs, huh? Or, I mean, an amount.
I have no idea. I went to medical school for a couple of years, but then I dropped out.
Let me Google.
So, no, I don't. I think you get new ones and old ones go
away.
Yeah, I think that's when you have your time of the month. I think it's the egg releasing.
Oh.
But anyway, clearly, this was the grandparents at work. No, okay, it was aliens. Thank you for laughing at my joke, Nick.
I'm sorry. I read how many eggs.
And also, it was freaky that they were at like a tent. What was that? A revival tent?
It's like
sound,
you know,
kind of cult.
Yeah, like a obviously a religious thing, a revival. It's
right.
Go to this tent,
so it's kind of odd that the aliens decided to abduct her there.
Well, they probably also thought this is a perfect group to abduct because these people.
Why do they think the way they do?
Yeah, these people are easily. You know, we could change their memories and they're not going to question it.
So a lot of the things she's describing are very normal in alien abductions. The last time, that is very, very normal. That is something that can even happen like when the ship is just around you. So what probably happened is they took her on the ship. They put the chip in her. They're doing some kind of experiments, whatever. And that's why she has the bouts of missing time every once in a while. They're checking up on her. I've heard a lot of stories like this. There's been stories where the aliens check up on this lady for like, checked up on her for like 30 years. And she just stopped telling people because she knew it sounded crazy.
Yeah.
Then one night, her roommate saw her being abducted.
Mm-hmm.
They said that she walked out into the lawn, and they saw her get abducted. And then she was like, okay, now I can finally tell people because I didn't tell them because I didn't want them to think I was crazy. But now that they've seen it, I can finally tell people, like, this has been happening to me.
Yeah, I mean, it's very strange. So the operation would have happened in 1990. The university doctor taking out the chip. And then it's crazy how it's like, and then he was gone.
Right, because it's like, okay, you know about it. So now you got to quit or whatever. Maybe they scared him into quitting. Maybe he was asking questions. I mean, obviously he was asking questions because he went and got it tested. But as soon as he sent that wherever he did, I'm sure it raised some flags with the government, with the Men in Black, whatever, and they're like, okay, well, now we gotta make this go away.
We gotta at least make the doctor go away.
And
the girl's nuts.
And I wonder if now, since the chip is gone, is that why she's not having the bouts of missing time as much? Maybe the chip is activated by the ship, so that gives her the missing time. And then they can, you know, check on their experiment. Oh, how's this kid doing?
we took all her eggs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the egg kid.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, her offspring is really weird.
Does she want to meet him?
Yeah, these are your kids. They're the same age as you. Yeah, we do that.
Yeah, we do that for fun.
Yeah, so anyways, you're not going to remember this.
It's funny how this is 1978, aliens too. They climb down the ladder. Hey, let's get down this ladder.
Right.
they haven't learned how to land yet.
Right, the ladder comes down. It's like, oh, you guys haven't figured out elevator yet? We have that.
What's that?
Like, well, why would we have that? We have ladder. Ladder's
good. Ladder good.
Yeah, ladder up, down, good.
Up, down, good. What do you have? Escalator, ramp?
Escalators, elevator, all kinds of things. What? Where did you get this technology?
Whoa. We got it from the lizard aliens.
Right.
So do you want to hear how many eggs? Approximately 1 million eggs.
Oh, wow.
At birth.
Okay.
And then by the time of puberty, only 300,000 remain.
Okay, so this was before she had puberty, so she had a lot of eggs.
No, it was 15,
I thought she said she was a kid because they were playing and stuff.
Yeah, and it said she was 15.
They're just weird kids.
Yeah, she's just a revival kid.
Yeah,
she's going to play with her cousins at 15.
A weirdo.
Oh, come on. You play with your cousins at 15 still?
I've never seen a child in my life. I would never play with a child.
I've seen you play with your niece.
All right, guys. That does it for this episode of True Scary Stories with Edie. Please remember to be safe. Look at your surroundings. Break all the kidnapper stuff. Scream. Be annoying. Tell some of our jokes. Play our podcast.
Yeah, tell them, hey, I've listened.
All right, yeah, get rid of them. Yeah, you just said this one joke one time that went like this. And then they'll drop you off. They'll even send you back home, first class. All right, uglies, thank you so much for listening. We love you. Stay safe.